welcome back to the show, our state GOP chair, J.R. Romano. J.R., good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
How are you?
Good.
How's the baby?
She's good. She's sleeping right now.
Oh, good, good, good. We don't want to wake her up. Right?
I'm learning the challenges of child care coverage.
Yeah.
Someone can't.
And that is a challenge, by the way. You use the right word. Usually you have her with you. I remember some times where I would actually hear your baby crying in the background. In my mind's eye, I see you rocking back and forth while on the phone with her in your lap or on your shoulder, so to speak.
Correct.
Yeah. Not this morning, though. So long as we can, we'll just talk quietly.
Not this morning. Everything's good this morning.
Okay. So, listen, the elephant in the room here, so to speak. A lot going on in that, and we've talked about it. You and I, we talked about it, was it last week or the week before? I forget.
Yes, correct.
With Tom Gilmer, and then there's Justin, what's his name there? Anderson.
Anderson.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so this is what I would like to do. Rather than pick up midway through or start right where we are right now, let's go in chronological order. And start from the very beginning and take us up to where we are right now.
So, yeah, I appreciate that, Gary. There's a lot of what I'd say is misinformation.
I know there is.
And presumptions out there. So, basically, and for any of those in politics, the issue with a lot of this is the eve of the convention. So Justin Anderson called me.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to so quickly interrupt you. Give everyone a time. Is this April?
Yeah, this
right?
is what I'm saying. So Justin Anderson called me on May 10th.
May 10th. Okay.
May 10th was the day before the second congressional convention.
Gotcha.
And he explains to me that he has someone, and I don't know when, the alleged victim communicated with Justin. But he tells me that he has a woman that reached out to him on social media. He's never met her. But she has presented some evidence and was accusing his primary opponent of assault. And and again, Gary, this wasn't he wasn't in my office. This was in the middle of Corona. This is over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains how there's evidence that the woman provided evidence of an assault by his primary opponent. So I said, well, if you think you have credible evidence, you have to bring it to the police. Mr. Anderson then explained to me that the victim did not want the public to know, didn't want to go to the press, didn't want to go to the police, but somehow wanted us to remove Mr. Gilmer from the race without anyone knowing why. And that's not really how, I don't have control over that. So for example, I don't know for any of your listeners, if they remember, Robert Hyde was a 5th congressional district candidate.
Yep.
Many of his things were public. He was online saying very derogatory things about women. Picking fights with people. There were some issues in regards to incident reports, police. So it was very easy for me to point to something and say, look, this can't be our candidate. He needs to go. And even then, Mr. Hyde did not stop running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the small, you know, as a party chairman, I don't control who's on the ballot. I don't get to determine you're a candidate and you're not. So that's, I think, a little bit of a misconception. I don't endorse candidates. I don't call delegates and tell everyone what to do. I wouldn't have any other time in the day if I did that.
Okay.
So in talking to Mr. Anderson, it was expressed explicitly that the victim wanted nothing to do with public, wanted nothing to do with police. So with that information, I went to Mr. Gilmer and I said, look, Tom, someone's making this allegation. I said, what is this about? And he said, look, I'm going to beat Justin at the convention. This is a last-minute attempt because I don't think he has 15% to try to get some votes. I said, well, look, what is this about? And here's the thing, too, Gary. I know nothing. I don't know when this was supposed to happen. I don't know. I don't even know if this woman knows Tommy. I know nothing.
Well, you never saw the video. She never. No one ever presented a video to you.
Correct.
Right.
And I was insistent that it needed to go to police. And my understanding, and I don't know this for absolute fact, but Justin never actually gave the video to anyone else. He would, and again, allegedly, Justin would go around the district, say at a local meeting, and show the video to someone, and then say, hey, this is my primary opponent. We can't let him be the candidate. Now, your sister host, Lee Elsie, did see the video. He, I mean, when I was on his show, he described it as 50-50. It's not a video like you think of a cell phone video where it's very clear and crystal. I think Lee said if you were to ask him to bet money that it was Mr. Gilmer, he would not have bet the money.
Yes, he's told me that as well, actually.
Correct.
It's grainy.
So it's very grainy and pixelated. According to, I'm taking Lee's word for it, I never saw it. And so what started to occur in the district is Mr. Gilmer started suing, or at least he sent cease and desist letters to Mr. Anderson. He was setting up lawsuits to sue for slander to some of Mr. Anderson's supporters. And it got to a fever pitch where my understanding around late July, Mr. Anderson finally decided to bring the video to the authorities. That's basically the complete rundown in terms of the timeline. We also provided safe haven for Mr. Anderson by providing him the number of domestic violence specialists, where if the victim wanted to talk to someone, she could, but was insistent on not being public and not going to police.
How did he obtain this video?
My understanding is the alleged victim sent it directly to him.
And said, do not go to the police with it. That's a kind of an odd thing to say. Here, look at this video of me getting assaulted, but I don't want you going to the police. And I understand that there's a lot of victims, especially of domestic abuse, who never contact the police and you know, because they fear for their life even more.
Which complicates this, correct.
Right, and I don't want to make light of that, but I just think it's bizarre to, if you're, usually they'll protect themselves and protect the perpetrator for whatever various reasons and not want that video out. But the fact that a video was even recorded, allegedly, that she says, yes, you can take this, but take it to JR? I mean, wouldn't you say take it to the police? I guess is my confusion, but maybe you can straighten me out a little bit.
And that's where it gets very complicated where, again, we specifically, I said to Justin, if you believe these are credible allegations, you need to bring it to the police.
Yeah.
And it just, time goes on. And remember, the timing of this, Gary, in our business, people come to the chairman all the time with accusations against their opponent. And you'd be surprised the crazy things that I've heard.
Yeah, I could imagine. Yeah,
and it's all, you know, jockeying. I had, in 2018, I had allegations. You know, one of the gubernatorial candidates was running a criminal enterprise.
Oh.
And I'm not kidding. And I needed to do something about it.
Okay.
Now, correct. So it's just a very difficult, you feel for the alleged victim. You know, no one thinks domestic violence is okay.
Of course
it is the situation we are in as a party makes me angry and frustrated. But what I find frustrating is you know, the history of the Republican Party being a circular firing squad. Where, you know, you have certain people who have, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to think not going to the police immediately. You know, I'm put in the position where I'm told I'm not allowed to go to the police. I'm not allowed to talk to the press, but I need to do something. Now, Gary, you've been in our world. Everything we do is in the public and in the press.
Everything. Every step that I took in my two terms in the House of Representatives is you've got to carry yourself that you're always being recorded. You can't even go to a party, and you got to be careful at jokes you laugh at or what you say and what you, even when you're not quote unquote on duty, so to speak, you're always being. You got to really present yourself as if you're always being recorded or watched.
Yeah, and so it was a very, very difficult situation. And again, you have an alleged victim. I never spoke to the victim. I was talking third hand through Justin Anderson. I have no way to verify or corroborate anything. I don't have the expertise to determine what is factual and what's not.
Yeah, we're speaking with our state GOP chair, J.R. Romano. J.R., is there anything that you could have done differently that you sit back and retrospect and say, well, maybe I could have done this differently or handled this better? Just anything.
Honestly, Gary, I don't know. When I'm told I can't go to the police, I can't go to the press, on the eve of a convention and I'm being told this by the direct primary opponent. I don't know, outside of saying here's safe haven with the number of, if this woman is, truly in this situation, here's the number of a domestic violence specialist for her to find safe haven, and you need to bring it to the authorities.
Have the police been in contact with you?
No.
No. All right. So, people want or requesting, and when I say people, there are some members of the Republican Party, elected and non-elected, that have been very vocal in your opposition, going on social media and asking for you and for your vice chair, Sue Hatfield, to step down, to resign, if you will. Is this something that you're contemplating? What is your thought process in that?
Well, look, politics is not an easy game. It's not for the weak-willed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to resign. It's easy to sit and play Monday morning quarterback, but when you're in those situations, advocating, going to the authorities, I think the most interesting thing that's being, one is people are telling, I never saw the video, but two is we try to cover something up. That is not the case at all. Advocating going to the police, I don't understand how that could possibly be conveyed that way. But I think, when you're in that situation, telling Mr. Anderson to go to the police immediately was the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's the first place that I think anybody should have taken a video. Not to the chair of a party. That sounds more like a vendetta against the opponent, or a scorned person that's trying to have a vendetta. You got to go right to, if this is serious and this video is exactly what it's people are claiming it to be, and I haven't seen it neither. You've got to take it right to the authorities, and then. Oh my God! That's the first place.
Well, and where does it end? And I'm not saying this because I believe it in terms of responsibility, but should Lee Elsie have gone to the police? He saw it.
Yeah.
This is the way we're looking at this. Members of the press, I know, heard rumors of it.
People have the perception, and for what reason I don't know, but that you are favoring the endorsed Republican candidate for the second congressional district of Tom Gilmer, and you have something against Justin Anderson and not wanting to give him his due, I guess.
Well, and again, it's not favoring. I've never favored. One of the biggest criticisms of some of the gubernatorial candidates from 2018 is that I didn't put my hand on the scale.
Uh-huh.
I always get accused of picking one candidate over the other, but you can't find a single person in the second congressional district that had a conversation with me where I said, "This, you need to pick this person."
Yeah. Okay.
And there are people that are really upset with Justin Anderson for holding the evidence As long as he did.
Yeah, I guess
why
I
did he wait till July?
I'd like to get the answer to that, yeah.
He says that he regrets it. Now, if I had issues, there are a lot of people that are upset with Justin. But, you know, he decided to hold the evidence until July. And again, he was in that situation where the victim said, you can't go to the police, you can't go public.
So the victim contacted Justin on her own with this video.
As far, that's my understanding.
What was used to record it? Was it a cell phone video? And was it hidden?
I have no idea.
Who hid it?
I have.
Was it
I
a
no
setup? I mean, I don't like how. That's just.
That's for the police to determine.
Okay.
And they, I mean, that's how I view it, right? That's for the police to determine that.
Was it a person holding it, or was it stationed, or you know, propped up somewhere? I guess there's a lot of questions that we wish we had answers to here.
Yeah, okay. And that's why when anything like this, you know, telling Mr. Anderson to go to the authorities that day, in my view, was the right thing to tell him.
Right, but he was told not to take it to the authorities, right?
By the alleged victim, yes.
But to take it to you. So there was a purpose behind it, then.
Well, I'm assuming it was to, because many people, Gary, you had asked me this earlier, but the state party chair doesn't have the authority to remove someone from the ballot. People think that I do. People think that I can control all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not the case.
Okay.
And so, you know, maybe the victim was like, look, I think it's wrong that this guy's running for Congress. I'm going to tell the guy that I think can stop it. But that's not the case, which I explained to Mr. Anderson, and that it needed to be in the hands of either the police or some other entity that can verify the information.
Yeah. Okay. I only have less than a minute left. I'm going to give it to you. If there's anything, I mean, that you'd like to get out there that maybe is not being told, and you've gone over a lot this morning, and I appreciate you taking us in a chronological manner, to, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with these allegations.
Well, all I want to say, Gary, is that this is a disheartening situation. It is frustrated. I know that it's frustrated many Republicans. It's sad and tragic. It's where it needs to be now. The police determined that Mr. Gilmer needed to be arrested, and now, you know, due process, Mr. Gilmer will have his day in court.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if anyone out there, is in a situation where they're fearful, the best place they can go is the police for protection. Domestic violence in any form is not right. It's not acceptable. And I hope people out there find courage to step forward if they're being victimized.
That's great advice. And a lot of times they're silenced or afraid to come forward. And maybe this was her way of reaching out for somebody. My final question to you is, who is the candidate now, the Republican candidate, to go against,
recount right now, so we don't know. But the process is, if Mr. Gilmer is victorious from the recount,
mm-hmm.
He will submit a letter saying he's not going to be going forward.
Okay.
To which then the State Central Committee will be selecting,
mm-hmm.
Someone who will basically be the candidate going into November.
Okay.
As a vacancy committee.
All right. So there's no other, who else, I guess, other than Justin, there's nobody else that's putting their hat in the ring, is there?
I mean, I had a couple people call me and inquire about it, but as far as I know, I have not seen anyone publicly, you know, say definitively I'd like to be considered.
All right, because we heard that there's some high profile name out there that
there were calls, there were people inquiring about the possibility, but I think that's died down. I don't think that is an option.
All righty. Listen, thanks for coming on this morning and setting the record straight. And really, I know it's painful for you, but to really take us chronologically from step one right to where we are right now.
It's a very difficult situation. I appreciate the opportunity, Gary.
Anytime, GR. Thanks for being with us. That's our state GOP chair, J.R. Romano.